How do you feel when you switch to Geico and save on your car insurance? It's like going to work on one Thursday morning and thinking to yourself, just one more day until Friday. But then somebody in the elevator says, Happy Friday! Then you check your phone quickly and discover today is actually Friday. So yes, Happy Friday, random stranger in the elevator. Happy Friday indeed. Yep, switching and saving with Geico feels just like that. Get more with Geico.
Experience holiday cheer at Tanger Outlets with savings up to 70% off your favorite brands. From fragrances to accessories and the latest styles, discover the best gifts for everyone on your list. Save big at Nike Factory Store, Michael Kors, Under Armour, Coach, Polo Ralph Lauren, Kate Spade New York, and so many more. Unwrap the best at Tanger Outlets. Hundreds of brands, endless gifting options. Plan your trip at Tanger.com.
What up? We're back, Jay Foreman, Austin Orman, Old School Crew. Once again, we want to thank my man Greg Smith from Rivals coming in, blessing us with some knowledge and some reality.
Can I just say
what?
I actually used Greg Williams' name in a tweet today.
The Greg Williams.
The Greg Williams. So we don't have it cut up, but I'll just tell you. So John Butler was asked by a member of the media if he would describe himself as an aggressive person. And an aggressive defensive coordinator, John Butler said, I would describe myself as an aggressive person. So I'm sure some of that will bleed in. But when I think about being aggressive, it's not just calling zero blitz every play.
Oh, yeah.
And my tweet was, this is news to Greg Williams.
Yeah. well, that was Jerry Gray that when he got mad, he'd run his spike 40, which was zero blitz. And, when Greg Williams had Javon Curse, he didn't need that. So, he didn't need it. But, yeah, I think Coach Butler, I would tell you this, as far as putting together a game plan and being, number one, when he was down in Houston, I know he did a really good job down there. I know that for a fact. I talked to some people I know down there, and they all loved and appreciated his time there. And I know people in Buffalo, same thing. And for him to be able to deal with, Buffalo didn't really invest in the defensive backfield. I think he did a good job of developing those guys, but he did a really good job of taking guys off practice squad, throwing them in there, and getting them to play at a high level. I mean, he really did do a good job. So I have no doubt that he will bring some of that knowledge and experience from, obviously coached with Bill O'Brien, obviously before, but then also with McDermott. And then he was down there before in Houston. He'll do a good job. I mean, he'll do a good job. He'll be aggressive, but he'll also be timely with it. I think you'll see a different look, I'm sure he'll fit, whatever he is going to do to the roster as well, which is obviously the smartest thing you can do. Mm-hmm. So, Coach Rhule had his presser today, right? And then so he talked a little bit about the defense, and then we'll give some comments afterwards.
This was, he was asked about Phil Snow, but one of the comments you mentioned about the tackling and whatnot, that's contained in this quote here.
Well, he's not officially hired, so I can't really talk about him. What I will say is if I did hire someone in a sort of like a elder statesman role, I talked to a Hall of Fame coach, and he told me about having someone like that. And, John's been a coordinator before. John needs no help. I don't believe that. But I do think in today's college football, when you're like looking around, this job as a head coach is a juggernaut. There's way more to do here than I had to do in the NFL. And so having someone over there on defense, seeing the big picture, whether it's portal evaluations or evaluating your own guys or making sure at the end of the day, we're still doing the old school fundamentals of running to the ball and tackling. I thought our tackling has fallen off this year. I don't think we played as hard this year running to the balls maybe we had the year before in some areas. And so I want someone kind of a big picture person that can help and assist in those areas. I have no doubt about John Butler's ability to game plan and to put us in the best position possible. But it's kind of those developmental fundamental principles and building blocks that I want to make sure as I have a whole new staff on defense that there's someone in there who believes what I believe.
I mean, I like it. I mean, I think, what he said was in more ways than one. Pecan, I'll address what Pecan said. Pecan, you're always like a beacon of light. more ways than one, I think it was a good Mr. T starter kit. Get him to play hard, run to the ball, which I think masked a lot of the things that maybe came to fruition this year. But then you just probably, he said, you know, want a little bit more of higher level innovation. And that's where the NFL background comes in. I also will say this. I remember when we hired Matt Rhule, and I always said, this is going to be the biggest job you'll get. Because it's bigger than the NFL. There's a lot more to do. There's a lot more things you have to do on a daily basis. And Nebraska's at the point where people will come in and pluck your coaches and players off. And so there is a lot more to do on a day-to-day basis. That's why when you have a new defensive coordinator hire, you feel probably a little bit more confident bringing in Phil Snow, because he's actually an extension of you. People don't realize Phil Snow, I don't want to misspeak. I think Phil Snow gave Matt Rhule his first coaching opportunity.
Yeah, Rhule's under Snow at UCLA.
Yeah, so they know each other. They know how they think. If he needs to have Phil Snow do something, it's no different than Matt going and doing it. Also, with a defensive background, to be there as a, you know, assist, you know, Coach Butler and anything that he wants to do. So, you know, look, and he talked about the tackling. And I think he had a quote where guys weren't, busting it to the ball as much. And, you know, to be frank, I mean, you know, look, sometimes this is Nebraska's biggest asset can be your detriment around here. And this even goes back to when we played. You got guys that kind of from here, they, you know, have a different view of themselves and what it's like to play here versus somebody that comes from outside. You know, it's just different. Mm-hmm. Whereas here, you know, you get a lot of attention. You've been getting a lot of attention.
And you'll keep getting a lot of attention.
And you will get even once you start winning more, you will. And you got to think, the offseason was one. Icing on the cake would get Dylan. You start out, and sometimes it's just natural when you haven't been in this situation before. You had older players, but you had younger players throughout the whole team. The older players as well were a little bit young with this thing called winning and what it entails, what comes with it, how to stay focused, how to reevaluate yourself, constantly pushing, you know, the goal line, or, you know, really keeping your foot on the gas, continue to improve. You start out 5-1, you have a huge win against Colorado, the natural letdown the next week, and you kind of spun your wheels, and then here goes Illinois. And so you're like, okay, then we get punched in the face with a tidal wave against Indiana, and we were in recovery mode for a little while. But then also you saw some things from some players, which I think is an individual choice. Not a lot of them, but there was plays that where when you had, and this is always the thing, the second year you see a lot of things. The first year, new coach, you want to prove yourself. I want to prove that I'm here. I need to be here. I want to get your approval by my effort and execution. And if I'm not executing, I'm just going to be able to overlay that with my outstanding effort and my energy and my want to. Right? You're kind of like a puppy dog there just to kind of prove it to your owner. Mm-hmm. Well, then now you start to get some credit. You got a lot of guys coming back, in particular on defense, and then you might start feeling yourself. And then your knife isn't as sharp and all that type of stuff. And those are the things that Coach Rhule is probably talking about a little bit. But I don't think it was anything like a shot at Tony White or anything that he wasn't doing. I think it's just when you haven't had tangible success. You can sometimes think things that aren't tangible, the media requests, the love when you go out other places, maybe you get a bump in your NIL. I don't know. You know, all that type of stuff is not tangible. Then you're in the Big Ten where everybody's going to bite back.
Yeah.
They're going to punch first. All that stuff. I think it was, you know, I mentioned this. It's different. And I think the first year where you were the hunter.
Yes.
Every game you were trying to hunt. You were trying to hunt approval from Coach Rhule and the coaches. You were trying to hunt and establish yourself on the team. Then you became the hunted, both by assumption through the media and bringing back guys, but then also kind of what you did last year and the raised expectation, which was the assumptive expectations. Mm-hmm. And then also you did do something because you pass rushed better. We saw it on Colorado. You withstood the talent, you know, difference in Colorado. We probably had the best. That's the best probably wide receiver crew in the nation.
Arguably.
Mm-hmm. And obviously one of the best, if not the best quarterback and the best player. They have obviously the best player. And you withstood that, and then you did it on a national stage, which is something that we hadn't done. And I can't even tell you the last time. So mm-hmm. we were able to do that, and then you became the hunted. Mm-hmm. And then the habits needed to what you said, that you can't change your habits. You got to amplify your habits. And so he's hoping that, you know, Coach Butler and obviously Snow and the new defensive coaches, that that will be able to be something that they get better at. But then also he talked about the ability to take that step from being really good against a known run team, Rutgers, mm-hmm. Wisconsin, Iowa. You'd like to think Illinois, but I think Illinois passed it a little bit better, to be able to withstand some of the passing teams.
I've got that clip pulled up. Let's hear from Matt Rhule on that.
Yeah, it was very, very, very methodical. I talked to John about his vision. I interviewed probably six people. There were a lot of parameters to me that mattered, the least of which was the optics. You know, I was like, I didn't care about making a splash or anything like that. I wanted to make the right decision. As I've said, you know, Coach Kevin McGarry, who's been here the last couple of years, you know, I think he told one of the candidates, you know, that coming here is like is a defensive coordinator's dream. You know, we practice a certain way, we play a certain way. So I wanted to get the right person. I talked to a lot of great candidates. There was a ton of interest from sitting defensive coordinators. I thought I really like what we've done the last 2 years. You know, I thought we maybe took a step back defensively a little bit this year in some areas. But I like what we've done. I like the overall general philosophy. And so, but to win moving forward, and this is something that, you know, a mentor of mine, Phil Snow, said to me. He said, you know, Matt, to win moving forward, you know, the things we're doing, the havoc that we're creating is great on, you know, first and second down. To be great moving forward on third down, you know, some of the stuff that we've done in the NFL, you know, third down packages, second and long packages versus the teams who can really throw it. Like, you know, we can go out, we play good against Iowa, but, you know, Iowa's a running team, you know, to be able to stop the offense.
Get even more savings this holiday season by becoming a Milo's Rewards member. Don't miss new member deals dropping every week, like $15 off a purchase of $50 or more on select Bounty, Charmin, and Puffs paper products. Plus, get free standard shipping with Silver Key status. Just one more way Lowe's is here to help you shop, save, and enjoy the holidays. Join for free today. Milo's Rewards program subject to terms and conditions. Visit Lowe's.com/terms for details. Subject to change. Exclusions and more terms apply. Visit Lowe's.com/shipping terms for details.
Experience holiday cheer at Tanger Outlets with savings up to 70% off your favorite brands. From fragrances to accessories and the latest styles, discover the best gifts for everyone on your list. Save big at Nike Factory Store, Michael Kors, Under Armour, Coach, Polo Ralph Lauren, Kate Spade New York, and so many more. Unwrap the best at Tanger Outlets. Hundreds of brands, endless gifting options. Plan your trip at Tanger.com. Experience holiday cheer at Tanger Outlets with savings up to 70% off your favorite brands. From fragrances to accessories and the latest styles, discover the best gifts for everyone on your list. Save big at Nike Factory Store, Michael Kors, Under Armour, Coach, Polo Ralph Lauren, Kate Spade New York, and so many more. Unwrap the best at Tanger Outlets. Hundreds of brands, endless gifting options. Plan your trip at Tanger.com.
That we're going to need to stop. That can drop back and spin the ball. We're going to need some advanced, I think, defense on third down, 2 minute red zone. As I went through that, you know, John had the top secondary in the NFL for 5 years. There was a lot of outpouring from our current players, guys I really respect, and you know, I'm not going to make that decision because of that. But I think they felt like, some of the current guys in the secondary felt like, after 3 or 4 years in college, John had brought a professionalism and a next level mentality to them that they thought was going to prepare them for the next level. Some of them had no business, you know, they're leaving, so they didn't have to say that to me. So I think it was just a combination of who can add to what we're already doing at a high level, who can bring some things secondary wise to really help us. And after working with John for a year, I thought he was really, really professional, really good to work with, great evaluator, and excited for him.
Yeah, I mean, I think, you know, he's thinking about maybe bringing in some more complex coverages, combination of coverages, the timing of coverages, and just his experience of dealing with, you know, a lot of times in the NFL, you'll play a team that's in 2 minute all the time. You just don't know it. Or, you know, how to, you know, play well against the run and then force teams into situations that you know you'd like to be to your coverage strength or player strength. And then also you talked about the professionalism. I mean, I had no problems telling people what I was told down in Houston. Look, this dude loves football. I can tell you this right now. He football all the time. This is not a play game to him. You know what I, and what I mean by that, and this has nothing to do with anybody else. He's not here to play little kid games with football.
Right.
He loves to coach football. He's passionate about it. He's passionate about defense. He's passionate about his job, and that will go down to his players. And it just has to be communicated, demanded, but then also fostered as well, because he is a new coordinator here. Yeah, he coordinated back in the day, but this is this first time, big time job. So, and he hadn't done it in a while. So there is going to be a learning process, you know, for him as well. But that's where Phil Snow has to step in, or probably will step in, and then also Coach Rhule. But I think it would, you know, in Coach Rhule's mind, he's like, look, he's got the qualities. He has the look. If you coach in the pros, you can coach in college. Mm-hmm. That's if you coach in the pros that long and are that successful at two different places. And I will tell you this, I think Buffalo had probably made, you know, well, they both had good pieces, but to go into when I know I'll talk freely about Houston, you know, because obviously I'm very, very involved down there, but they had some established veterans there. You had Joseph, who was a Pro Bowler. You had all other players as well, where he came in and won them over.
Did he have Tyrann Mathieu at that point?
Not in Houston.
Okay.
But he won them over by his passion for football, his work ethic, and the ability to get them better. And so in the pros, you're dealing with professionals, you're dealing with grown men. So to break that, probably like I call it ice, and break that wall down, you have to be about your business in football, and you have to get them better. You have to kind of, you know, take a couple punches in order to be able to be on the same level with them. So for him, getting guys ready and all that, I don't think that'd be a problem. I think he'll be, first of all, when you're in the league, you're able to call on not only college friends that are coaches, pro guys that are coaches that will face some of the same offenses or type of aggressiveness and passing, trees and stuff like that, as far as that he can, you know, if he has any problem to, you know, rely on those guys. So I think, you know, as long as he comes in and is able to, you know, create his presence, doesn't have to be anybody else besides himself. And then also he has to have great continuity with his assistant coaches and I guess the assistant coaches, the analysts. So that's really what he's got to get used to, you know, dividing up responsibilities. Then he's accumulating all of the process and also the knowledge and all that stuff. And then he has to, again, divide it out and spread it around the players. That's really going to be knowledge of the game, like, and all that stuff. He knows what he's doing. He knows what he wants to do. And so now he's just got to, you know, just the things of just experience. And that's what, you know, really what Phil Snow's there. So the process probably should be sped up a little bit.
A few quick things from what John Butler had to say. We don't have the audio. I'll just read you the quotes that I got from the press conference today. Number one is something we've talked about a lot on this show that you're going to chuckle when you hear it. We're going to be schematically like we have been for the last 2 years here.
There is.
John Butler even went on to say we played plenty of four-man fronts and plenty of five-man fronts this year.
Yeah,
guys, it's okay if it's a 3-3-5 base.
Yeah. And you'll see. But I also think, I can't speak for him, but I think from his experience, and I'm only going off what I saw at Buffalo and sometimes at Houston, you'll see some three-man fronts, some regular three-man fronts, okey, you know, where you have like a zero or a shaded one and a five and four eyes. And then you have two backers on the line, say like you're playing against, you know, 22 personnel, 21 personnel, where you got to really hunker down against the run, you know, Iowa specifically or somebody like that. Then you see some regular base four-man fronts, nickel defense, and just come out 4-2-5 or whatever. Mm-hmm. And then you'll see, you know, like some regular 3-3-5. And you'll see, you know, guys that can play. It might look like it's a 3-3-5 or a 4-3, but actually it's nickel, because I think when you have the Dawson Merritts coming in and potentially the Christian Jones, where these guys are going to, there's no time waiting for you, dude. Mm-hmm. Now, whether you're going to be running down on kickoff or getting your feet wet at the beginning of the season, you better come in ready to play, and you better know how to, you know, learn defense. So I think you're going to see multiple fronts. I don't think you're going to see wholesale changes, because also I think for him, he realized there's a lot of great things that they did on defense. So if you come in and try to change it, it might, delay the, you know, the process of moving forward. So, you know, I think he'll do well.
Two other quick ones. The best offenses we're going to face are the ones that are the least predictable. Is that the same for defense, where you want to be predictable to your players? They get in your rhythm and know it's in your head, but unpredictable to the offense?
Yeah, I mean, the worst thing you could do on defense is not communicate and then just stand there and wave your hand and say, okay, I'm right here to get blocked. That's the worst thing you could do. You do not want to be a practice dummy.
Come block me.
Yeah, come here block me. Hi, yeah. Hello. So I think that, you know, what he's potentially could be saying is, as unpredictable as they are, we will be, you know, I'm assuming we will be sound, but we will not be predictable. I think you will see a little bit more emphasis. I would like to see a little bit more emphasis on disguising coverage, but then also rerouting guys as well.
Part of that disguising coverage is thing, Jay. He was asked about the transition from NFL back to college, right? And he said the biggest difference for him is figuring out what can you do with guys this age in college,
right?
Pros, he said, have been there. They're 6, 8, 10 years older than these guys in college. They have all these experiences the college guys just don't have yet. So his quote was, at the end of the day, it's not about what the coach knows. It's about what the players know.
Yeah.
It's on the coach to communicate. It's on the coach to figure out what the players can do. But then what do the players know? What can we run? How can they execute?
Yeah. I mean, that's where you got to have guys. And Matt Rule said, we need football players. We need guys that eat, sleep, drink football, and that are invested in being the best player that they want to, that can be. And that's how you become a really good defense. Yes, everybody's, you want the best. We want to go get all the five star and the best athletes, but it doesn't matter if you're not invested. You have to be able to disguise coverages. You have to be able to raise your level of execution and your complexity as you move along in the season. And you also got to be more efficient in execution as well. When you ask about, you know, the, as the season goes on, and what we need, you need, in order to raise your level of play, you have to raise the level of the things you're doing. Because, you could be static in cover two in the beginning, but then you got to be able to disguise it as cover four, maybe in the middle. And then maybe you want your cover two to look like cover three. You can't just do the same things every week. And that's where you got to be able to press them a little bit, maybe dial it back, time, maybe more time and energy spent on it in the bye week. Then you get a little bit farther down the road. It's kind of like a give and take, and you just got to find that, you know, good mark in there.
And if you don't have the athletes to disguise it, just be really good at what you're lined up in. There's always going to be some sleight of hand, some subterfuge, right? It's just the nature of defense. You have to disguise, confuse, change the look pre-snap for quarterbacks, especially in an era, Jay, especially in college, where the reads have never been easier or simpler. What college OCs are doing is simplifying for their quarterbacks. So you have to mix it up and be unpredictable as you can. But if you don't have the athletes to disguise it like you want to, just run what you run and be really good at it.
And I think when you look at it, year one and year two, I think that was the biggest difference. I think at the end of the day, I think they had a couple of defenses they could run. Now, look, I think losing Quentin Newsom was in Omar. Brown was huge, because they cleaned up a lot of – they were erasers. And Quentin Newsom had a really, really good senior year. And so – at the end of the day, he probably had two or three things he knows. Okay, when this stuff gets a little hairy, boom, I hit you with that. Whereas that, where you had guys in those positions that didn't have the experience, they might have had the longevity here, not the experience. You can't have more experience than Quentin Newsom. He essentially played 4 years in a row, and he played with Cam Taylor-Britt. So he had been the guy that didn't get a lot of, or got a lot of action, then he didn't get much. Well, then there came the emergence of Tommy Hill. So that's a different Tommy Hill.
Tommy got a lot of action, then he started getting less.
Right. And then now you got you had Buford over there, who had been around but hadn't played a lot because of injury. So, and he was playing a different position. Right. I think he played safety last year when Omar got hurt, and then now he's playing corner. That was, which I think was a big, you know, difference versus year one and year two. But as Coach Butler said, you got to find out what they know, not what they think they know. What they okay,
and film will tell you what they know and what they think they know.
Right, yeah, and what they know is something that they just can't know on the whiteboard. What they know is what they can execute, what they live and they breathe and they drink. Then you go from there. So you got to have a really good base of what you know and they know, and you know at the end of the day this is our building block, and then you can expand off of that. So we're gonna take a quick break. Come back, put a bow on this bad boy on this Thirsty Thursday. Jay Foreman, Austin Orman, we'll be right back.
How do you feel when you switch to GEICO and save on your car insurance? It's like going to work on one Thursday morning and thinking to yourself, just one more day until Friday. But then somebody in the elevator says, Happy Friday! Then you check your phone quickly and discover today is actually Friday. So yes, Happy Friday, random stranger in the elevator. Happy Friday indeed. Yep, switching and saving with Geico feels just like that. Get more with Geico.
Experience holiday cheer at Tanger Outlets with savings up to 70% off your favorite brands. From fragrances to accessories and the latest styles, discover the best gifts for everyone on your list. Save big at Nike Factory Store, Michael Kors, Under Armour, Coach, Polo Ralph Lauren, Kate Spade New York, and so many more. Unwrap the best at Tanger Outlets. Hundreds of brands, endless gifting options. Plan your trip at Tanger.com.